FM's Dublin Talks. Weekdays from 10 a.m.
Now, everything may not be good in your world if you are classed as homeless, for example, or if you've been on the housing list since time began. And if you are, I would love to hear from you on 6797981, because, you know, we talk and talk and talk about homelessness and the effect that it has on people. What effect will it have on you? If you're somebody who is homeless, what effect will it have on you in the run-up to Christmas? In just a moment, I'm about to talk to a woman who has been on the housing list for 10 years, has been homeless for the last 3 years, and along with her six children and her partner, they have been living in a hotel room for the last 3 years and face Christmas in a hotel room, which just doesn't sound pleasant at all. So if you're in a similar situation, I would love to hear from you on 6797981. If you're classed as homeless, what will Christmas be like for you this year? Call me right now on 6797981. Also, I want to find out, if you're on the housing list, how long have you been on it, and is there any sign of you getting off it? Is there any sign of you getting somewhere to live? Call me right now on 6797981. One of our listeners got in contact with us to highlight her situation. As I said, for many people, Christmas is a time to look forward to, but not for this woman. Therese and her family have been living in a hotel for nearly 3 years. They've been on the housing list for 10 years. Therese works part-time, as does her eldest son. She's a 15-year-old daughter, whom she says is deeply affected by their situation. Her other children are also being affected by their living situation, and they're all dreading Christmas, as they won't even be able to cook their own dinner on Christmas Day because they're in a hotel. They don't have cooking facilities, no Christmas tree, no meal around the table. It actually sounds quite heartbreaking. Let me talk to Therese. Therese, tell me about your family situation, your children and so on.
Our six children, one granddaughter, they're from 19, 17, 15, 12, 10 and 6. And my granddaughter is 7 weeks old.
And, okay, so that's how many children you have. And what is your current living situation?
I'm in a hotel at the moment. I lost me rented accommodation of 10 years to a house fire 3 years ago.
And had to declare as homeless 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay, so since then, since the house fire, which basically left you without a tenancy, have you been living in hotels constantly?
It's the one hotel, yeah. I'm here in the one hotel.
And what hotel is that?
It's in Newlands Cross.
Okay, and you've been there for the last 3 years. How many of you are in the hotel room or rooms? How many rooms have you got?
We've two rooms. Four beds, we share a bed, two to each bed. There's eight of us all together.
There's eight of you all together. So take me back to the start and when you found that you were going to be homeless. You said the place that you were renting was subject to a fire.
Yeah.
And it became clear to you fairly quickly that you were going to be homeless, did it?
Yeah, because we'd not, relatives, they're all, as I said, the houses are full, they're shelves like all. We tried looking for half rent. We've been doing that for the last 3 years with no luck at all because the family's too big. Like, it's all double and a single. You won't get anyone to take a family of eight really on with the money that we would be provided with, like, or that we could afford even.
Okay, so because of the size of your family, it's very difficult to get a private rental. So that's kind of what has you caught between a rock and a hard place here.
It is, yeah. And Fingal at the moment are saying to me, the only way out of being homeless is HAP. They can't provide me with a property big enough, even though the two properties did come available in January. And I actually wrote into the Fingal County Council before these properties were even handed back to Fingal. But there was other people on the list longer than myself with more priorities that them houses have to be given to them.
So tell me about life in hotel accommodation with eight people sharing two hotel rooms.
We've no cooking facilities, no washing facilities. We literally get up most mornings, 5 o'clock in the morning, to be ready for the kids to travel from Clondalkin to Blanchardstown for school. My son, that's doing his leaving cert at the moment, is finding it very difficult. He's on the verge of breaking out. He's no time to study. He doesn't want to go to school anymore, and he's studying for his leaving cert this year. My daughter, that's 15, she's also in 50 years. She's studying LCA for her leaving cert. She has attending PA the house for. She's in the middle of, she wants to take her own life at the moment. She was attacked in the hotel room by two strangers. She hasn't been the same since. She's panic attacks constantly in the hospital with her breathing. She can't breathe. She won't open the hotel door to strangers. We barricade ourselves in at night because we don't know how the attackers got into the room to bolt my younger kids.
Okay, so this is directly having an effect on the mental health of your daughter. And in terms of the rest of the children and yourself, how is it affecting you?
The same thing. My 12-year-old daughter sees a psychotherapist once a week. My 11-year-old daughter, same issues. They've no life, they've no friends, they've no way of playing out. Most of their life is travelling from school back to hotel to be locked in this room. They're not allowed to play in the hall. They're not allowed to walk the halls on their own. So they're literally on the bus in the morning, two buses to school, back to the hotel, do homework or whatever else, because they're eating food that's junk. I have myself was diagnosed with an ulcer in my stomach from the food that we're after being eaten for the past 3 years. And my daughter, that's 10, is complaining with the exact same pain. So she's probably following on with the conditions.
And this is all because you don't have cooking facilities, so you can't make proper meals.
We can't make no meals at all, no.
Now, you told our production staff earlier on that you and all the kids and your grandchild are dreading Christmas. What will Christmas Day consist of?
It will be a salad in a bedroom. The whole lot of us together, we'll sit in the room. No tree. We won't have a Christmas tree. Santa won't come to this room with me where I sleep with my smaller kids. They'll come to the room, so they constantly ask why Santa doesn't come here. We'll have no tree. We'll sit around, we'll eat a salad. We can't move for the day because there's no transport really anywhere, so we're stuck in just in a hotel with 20, 30 other homeless families. Like,
how long does this look set to continue for you? Is there any sign of getting anywhere?
No, there isn't. They keep saying to me that there is no 4 bedrooms, so very hard to come by. Now, I'd be willing to go into a 1 bedroom once I had a cook with a washing machine and a table. Like, I'm not fussy where I'm put or how many rooms the property has.
The point being, anywhere is better than this hotel room or these hotel rooms.
Yeah, it's a night show. We can't. We've 3 years of stuff in the hotel. We can't. We've a pathway in and a pathway out. I have 6 children. It's a lot of stuff, like over 3 years to be compacted into 2 hotel rooms.
It does sound like it's a bit of a nightmare. What sort of support are you getting from family or the father of your children or whatever?
The father of my children is with me. He's in market a lot of the time, so like he's with me. He ran his own business before the house went on fire. And 6 months into being in the hotel, I actually was starting to take a nervous breakdown. He had to give up everything because I couldn't move outside the hotel door, couldn't bring the kids to school. I literally was just, depression just got a hold of me so bad. It's only this year now I'm starting to snap myself over because this is starting to become normal to the whole lot of us. It's starting to be just normal to live like this. They're starting to accept and feel that a hotel room is their home.
And what sort of support are you getting from local politicians, for example?
I have emailed me the politician, the TD that's supposed to help me. It's the only TD from my local area that hasn't actually emailed me back. A lot of TDs are after emailing me back and getting onto Fingal on behalf of me, but they're getting the same response that they're walking with me and closely with the family and they're looking for a HAP. But sure, I send in emails of the HAP houses that I actually email myself on a daily basis.
Yeah, you said that there are 6 children, including a grandchild. Did that grandchild arrive while you've been in that hotel accommodation?
Yeah, she was born while my son was here in the hotel. grandchild's not with me. I actually can only take her once a week. I take her off me son's girlfriend. I get to see her once a week. I can't keep her overnight. That's another thing, that I can't even be a grandparent to my grandchild. Like.
So what do you want to highlight talking to us today? What do you want to get across?
I believe the Fingal housing list, I believe it doesn't exist. I'm 10 years on Fingal County Council. I don't drink, I don't take drugs, I have no criminal history. We have nothing that should bury us from being housing, nothing. And yet, I am not going down the list whatsoever. Like, I'm 10 years, I'm 129 on the list.
It sounds like a desperate situation.
It is. It's hell. I call it homeless hell. When I send off an email to a TD or to Fingal, I cap with homeless hell, because every day it is hell. Every day a new problem, it gets on top of you.
All right, well, it's one of many similar stories from around Dublin of people, particularly at this time of the year, finding it an extra struggle. And as we said already, Christmas time is going to be fairly miserable by the sounds of it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, Therese, we appreciate you talking to us and sharing your story with us. And hopefully some local politicians from your area are listening and might actually get the finger out and try and put a bit of pressure on to get you and your family housed sooner rather than later. Therese, thanks very much indeed for talking to us on 98FM.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
And I'd love to hear from you on 6797981. If you're in a similar situation, or if you've been on the housing list since time began, call me right now on 6797981. Here's a message that just came into us and it says, I've been on the housing list since the 15th of November 2003, which by my calculations is 15 years ago. In fact, it's 15 years ago today, is it? Yeah, it is. My eldest just turned 16 and I've three kids. I'm lucky that I'm on ROSS, which is the rental accommodation scheme. But it's never going to be our home. If on ROSS, the council class it as social housing, but my landlord could end it at any time if they want to sell or move back into it, says that message. And then another message. I'll buy your kids some presents. What ages are they? They're 19, 17, 15, 12, 10 and 6. Is the answer to that person's message, which is very nice of you, very decent of you. And then another person is asking me to set up a GoFundMe page for that woman to help get a home for this family. It's so upsetting listening to this. Unfortunately, it's not something that we can do, because we could end up having to do it for half of Dublin, unfortunately, because half of Dublin are in that situation. Well, not half of Dublin, but an awful lot of people are in that situation. And we did something like that before, and we got badly burned by it. And many of you will remember the story that I'm talking about. We did get badly burned by it. So that left a bit of a nasty taste in our mouths, and something we won't be doing again. Much and all, as we will happily put you in touch with that woman if you want to help out. Now, Evelyn, you're on 98FM. Hi, Evelyn.
How you doing? Okay.
Evelyn, thanks. You're upset having listened to that story.
Yeah, I'm very upset, because I live in Fairview and I've had to look day in, day out at an empty house at the back of me. Cats going in and out through the window. It's been empty for 10 years. It's dangerous if some of the bricks are loose at the back. And I've been in touch with the various TDs trying to see if they could do anything for me. And I think they need to get their finger out. Stop wasting money, putting people in hotels, which is nowhere for people to be living. And go around Dublin and look at all the empty properties that's there and put the money into them. Get the owners, if they're empty any longer than 2 years, get the owners, whoever they are, and get them to get rid of them or take them from them. But they have to do something about them. There's too many empty houses lying around and people living in hotels. It's a disgrace.
And you see, a lot of people, I mean, I despair sometimes, and I've said this before, the reaction from some people is, oh, I'm full of sympathy for this lady, but seriously, six kids and a grandchild. And that isn't the point. The point of this conversation is, this woman had six children, is entitled to have six children if she wants to have six children. Her husband is working, but they're obviously at an income level that they qualify for social housing, as many people do. So this isn't your typical, stereotypical story. These are a family that were living in rented accommodation until 3 years ago, and then the house burned down. And they were left homeless. And they've been homeless ever since. It's bloody ridiculous.
I think it's a disgrace. I'm looking at this house and I'm very upset. I really am. I feel like breaking into it and putting the people into it, because the person that owns that doesn't give a damn. He's just left it lying there. He was in there one day and I shouted up to ask him something and he just went away because he just doesn't care.
Actually, I'd be very interested to find out from our listeners, around where you live...
The houses are priceless here, like Fairview, Dublin 3. I mean, you know...
And it's just sitting there. No, I'd love to find out from our listeners and get you to text in right now to 0877 98 98 98. Around where you live or around your own housing estate, how many buildings are houses I'm talking about, are unused, are unoccupied, are boarded up? Just text an answer to me to 0877 98 98 98. I want to get a flavour of this and find out how many properties are either unoccupied or boarded up near where you live. So have a look at your window and count and let us know on 0877 98 98 98. I'd be very interested to find out. Do you see, it's one of those things, Evelyn, we never get a proper answer to.
No, they don't do anything, you see. They bring out a rule. Oh, I think there was a new rule brought out 2 years empty and we do something about it. They're doing nothing. Do you know what they're doing? They're building luxury houses all around here. They're putting apartments up in skinny little plots where, you know, big high apartments. Who they're for, I don't know. But I'm feeling sorry for my countrymen and women that are stuck in hotels for Christmas. Okay, there is a few people that do scam it. But on the whole, I think it's disgusting. That poor woman, what I'm after listening to, going through that for that length of time. And I'm just sick of it.
Okay,
what
but stay there for one second, because Justin, tell me about your neighbour or your former neighbour.
Yeah, he put his house on the market at the beginning of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And lovely three-bedroom house that he had bought and completely did up from scratch. And I met him just around Easter time and he said, oh, the corporation are after buying it. He was delighted with himself.
And what part of Dublin are we talking about?
We're in Drimnagh, Dublin 12.
Okay, so Dublin City Council bought the house.
The house, yeah. And it was a perfect house, nothing wrong with it, because he had just done it up about 2 or 3 years previously. And it's been lying empty since. I did see a van outside us. They were changing the kitchen in the summer. And that was it. The house is still lying empty. It's a waste.
So this is a house that Dublin City Council owns in the Drimnagh area that they bought off the guy who used to be your neighbour.
Yeah.
And since it was bought... So he sold it when? In April?
Yeah, just before Easter, yes. Yeah.
Right. In April. And the house is literally lying idle ever since.
Lying empty. And like, how much are the corporation paying for all these hotel rooms on a weekly, monthly basis? And there's houses just, and it's not the only one lying empty. There's houses that are, you know, got the corporation hoardings up around Drimnagh. I'd say there's probably at least a half a dozen in just my little area of Drimnagh.
That's unbelievable. You know, so here's a house that is ready to move into.
It's been ready since the day it was sold. They didn't even need to do anything with it. I know corporation likes to put in their own stuff because they have insurance issues and whatever. But this is a perfectly good, beautiful house lying empty.
Wow, that is
and
shocking.
That poor woman, it's a three-bedroom house. She could, you know what I mean? She has six kids.
My that would be absolutely ideal.
A two-bedroom house.
Now, as far as you know, that particular lady is on the Fingal housing list, which is separate. But anyway.
You know what I mean? This is one of many that's lying empty across the city.
That is unbelievable. So this is a house ready to move into. A whole family could move in tomorrow instead of being in a hotel room, but it's been sitting there since last April.
Yeah, I'm sure that lady would, with their six kids in the two hotel rooms, would love that, even just to get her through the Christmas or whatever. Mm. You know, what's an issue with moving somebody in temporarily until they find the correct area or the right area that suits their needs or their kids' education or whatever? You know, it's shocking. It's just so sad.
That really is. And in fact, we've a lot of messages coming in giving us an idea of how many properties are lying vacant, and that's just one good example. Text or WhatsApp 0877 98 98 98 and tell us where you live and how many houses or apartments or whatever are lying vacant, because this is part of the problem. I can't believe that a house that is ready to move into, this isn't a boarded up house that needs to be done up. This house has been done up. This house was done up by the guy who owned it, and he sold it to Dublin City Council 6 months ago, and it's still sitting there in Drimna. Unbelievable. Where am I going now? Let's go to Paul. You're on 98FM. How are you, Paul?
How you doing? Not too bad.
Good, thanks, Paul. What did you want to say?
Well, come here, I just listening in there about that girl there from Dawkin, you know. I can see her point, what she's saying, that she's, you know, has the kids there and whatever, you know. But, I mean, in a way, she is blessed to be home, like, you know, to have a home over her head. I know it's not home, but to have somewhere to stay.
Mm.
Because,
is it the same thing, though, Paul?
It's not the same thing. It's not right. I know it's far not right from what it should be, you know, but... I mean, example. I'm originally from Ballyferm, but I live down the country now the last 14 years. I'm volunteering for a well-known housing place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, if you're seeing the new documentary that's on the television now at the moment of a Sunday night where they're taking the people in off there and they have them in this housing unit, you know, the same thing is down in Monaster Evan, not far from where I live in Port Arlington, and there's. A lot of people in a well-known hotel there on the left-hand side. And I know two guys that are sleeping in a bush over on the right-hand side.
Right.
You know, and these are Irish. No, I'm far from racist.
No, I know the place you're talking about, and I know this is a hotel in Monaster Evan that is housing is housing asylum seekers.
Asylum seekers. And I know two people, one from Port Leash and one from McMellick, that are sleeping in a bush way across the road.
My God.
You know,
sorry, Paul, what's the point you're trying to make? That even though that lady's living conditions aren't ideal, she has a roof over her head. Is that the point you're trying to make?
The point I'm making. It's not the right thing for the kid for Christmas or whatever.
No, of course it isn't.
It's far from that. But in a way, I mean, I go down the streets a lot of the times. I have been in the past as well. And I have been homeless myself. And I mean, birds being homeless is something that's addiction or whatever like that. But it's still the same thing because. What I'm trying to
Because, Paul, somebody might be worse off than you, doesn't mean your situation isn't desperate. Listen to what the lady said. I mean, she's in a hotel room with six kids and faces not being even able to cook a dinner on Christmas Day, having to have a salad on Christmas Day because nowhere around them will be open.
It's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace the way it is. I can't understand. The government are paying... These hotels, wherever it is, you probably have a deal with them, say 70 or 80, 78 euros during the week, and then maybe 100 quid in the weekend. You imagine all that money that's going to the hotels, what they could build in the country for this, build for Ireland, for the people of Ireland, and the people that come to Ireland that are homeless. It's an absolute disgrace. You know, I mean, they have people in these places cooking meals for them and stuff like that, you know? Where, I mean, you're saying about this GoFundMe page, you say you didn't want to go near it, but I think all the listeners... Could make a GoFundMe page and maybe make a GoFundMe page and do something for the Peter McVeigh Trust or some one of these big companies, you know, that are helping that day in, day out. Local
now, fairness, Paul, people do give to the likes of Peter McVeigh every day of the week.
Well, I walk around the homeless now, you know, I have done for the last few months and I walk around another company.
You see, the problem with a family like this in this hotel room is they're in a situation where they're trapped. The council have ticked off that they have a roof over their heads, so that's them sorted until they get somewhere more permanent. They aren't sleeping on the street, and they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place, and that was the point that I made to her earlier on. Thanks for your call, Paul. I have to take a very quick break, but after the break, we'll be giving you a rundown of all of the vacant properties around the city. Well, not all of them, but all of them that you've texted in. And this is a real eye-opener. Now, I know we're just scratching the surface here, but my God, the amount of messages we've gotten in over the last few minutes with the list of housing that is sitting vacant, doing nothing, while... Families like that family, mother, father, six children, are living in two hotel rooms for the last 3 years. And I know everybody thinks, people do automatically think, oh, you have a roof over your head, stop moaning and all of that. And, you know, we all go and stay in hotels and that's all lovely. But try live in a hotel room. What can you make? A cup of tea.
But you're even down to, if you have children, trying to explain to them that Santa has to visit you in the hotel. There's no chimney for Santa to come down. You know, stuff that we all take for granted. Sitting around the telly on the sofa on Christmas Day watching television after eating a big dinner. You can't do that in a hotel.
Okay, let's read some of the messages that have come in about vacant properties around the city.
To be honest with you, Adrian, if we were to read them all, we'd be here till Christmas because there's so many. Okay, here's one. I drove through Barnville and Ballyfermot. I know that very well. The other day, and I saw six houses boarded up. Another one, the Old Bray Road, lads. Six or seven houses boarded up on that as well.
Okay, at least 10 houses are empty here in Hampton Wood in Finglas. Is that message?
In Clonchoc, there are three. I passed three houses boarded up on my way to the shops and many more that I don't pass. In Ballybock, which is the Dublin inner city, isn't that where it is?
Near
Summerhill there. At least 10 flats and two or three houses boarded up as well.
In Ballymun, there are at least 15 boarded up houses that have been sitting idle for months.
There's a vacant house next to me in Rathoath. It's been there for the last 5 years. It's another one of these stories. Due to ownership dispute after it was sold, Meath County Council are trying to do something about it. There, a house there for 5 years.
Adrian, there is a four-bedroomed council house in my estate vacant for the last 7 months in perfect condition. What a waste. Now, it's in the Dublin City Council area, but I don't know exactly where.
I drive by an estate near the 9th Loch and Clondalkin, where in the estate there were at least 16 houses all unoccupied, says Ken. From what I believe, Ken says most of them are ready and finished and ready to move into.
Here's another problem where a house just isn't being lived in. And this is slightly different. There's a three-bed house around the corner from my mam in Artane. The mother is in a nursing home and I presume the family are waiting for the mother to pass and go through probate to do something with the house. I think it's under the Fair Deal scheme. I'd imagine there's hundreds of houses in the exact same predicament. You have memories made in the house, but I think to house a family that is living in a hotel is a greater need, says that message.
Okay, I have two more for you. And now, as I said, there's thousands literally we could go through. In Cherry Orchard, where I live, there are around 20 houses boarded up and another two in the last week. And another one about Cherry Orchard. My daughter is on the housing list in Cherry Orchard since 1999.
Oh my God, that's nearly 20 years.
I mean, that's pre-millennium. That's what we're talking.
And finally, I'm in a hotel with my partner and two kids. We've been there for 2 years due to losing our home because the landlord never paid his mortgage. The hotel we are in is the complete opposite to what that woman described. We have washing facilities and a playroom for the kids. We are provided with breakfast and dinner. The staff are amazing and can't do enough for us. At Christmas, the hotel is decorated with Christmas trees and more lights than you can imagine. Christmas dinner is made for us with all the trimmings. The kids don't miss out on the magic of Christmas because of what the staff do for us. I understand that woman is in a horrible situation, but I just wanted to highlight that not all hotels are the same. That's great to hear.
And one final one, Adrian. I don't know if this is a conversation for another day, but Paulie has just brought up an interesting argument. And he says, why don't we build trailer parks like they have in America? It works well over there. Mobile homes like you'd see in Cortown and Wexford on a big piece of land. You can buy a mobile home for 10 grand. Trailer parks, I think it's a quick solution. It's a no-brainer, lads. Building houses, forget about it. There's plenty of green fields around Dublin. Trailer parks are where it's at. Problem about trailer parks, and they do work well in America, there's a stigma attached
to
trailer
absolutely.
Parks.
And finally, there's a block of apartments at Prospect Hill in Finglas. I'm sure you know where it is. At least 30 to 40 apartments lying idle since about 2005. What an absolute disgrace. All right, thank you very much indeed. That's just literally scratching the surface. And as we said, we could keep reading them out until Christmas, because there's that many coming in. But thank you very much indeed. And like I said already, it's something we never get a proper answer to, as to why so many properties are vacant and unoccupied. That one in Drimnagh's really after getting to me. Anyway, this is 98FM's Dublin Talks.
98FM's Dublin Talks. Weekdays from 10 a.m.